Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, December 29, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
All right, one announcement before we get started. This Sunday is New Year's Eve Sunday, and we will have Bible class in the first class. There will be a communion following that, and then following that, there will be a movie. So Bible class, followed by communion, followed by a movie, New Year's Eve Sunday. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege that we have of assembling and coming to worship the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the privilege that we have of growing up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's start the corrected translation at verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, our human body, which is a tent, is taken down, physical death, we keep on having a building from God, resurrection body, a house not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this tent, our human body, we groan and keep on longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, our resurrection body. Verse 3. Inasmuch as we, having put on the resurrection body at the rapture, the resurrection, we absolutely will not be found naked. Certainly indeed, while we are in this tent, our human body, we groan, suffering, adversity, testing, being burdened, because we absolutely do not want to be unclothed, mortality, but to be clothed, immortality, with the resurrection body, that lives forever, for the purpose that mortality may be swallowed up by life, immortality. Verse 5. Now the one who prepared us for this very purpose is God, God the Father, the one who gave to us for our interest and benefit the Spirit, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, as a down payment, a guarantee. In phase two, the believer in time, we are temporarily living in degenerating human bodies. We are living in what Paul called in 2 Corinthians 4:7, common jars of clay. Why? So that the grace and the power of God can be displayed in our life. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, Paul writes, now we possess this treasure in earthen vessels, common jars of clay, for the purpose that the surpassing greatness of the power may be from the source of God and not from the source of us. In the life of every member of the royal family of God, God has begun the transforming process that will one day culminate in possessing a resurrection body. The guarantee of that consummation is the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit not only enters us into union with Christ, making us royal family of God, but He is also the power to live the spiritual life, transforming us, into the likeness of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. But we all, royal family of God, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the Word of God, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Christ being formed in you, just as from the Lord who is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of the completion of God's gracious salvation, a resurrection body living with Him forever in heaven, Romans 8:23, Ephesians 4, verse 30. As we live our life on earth, we can be absolutely confident that we have a home in heaven, and that one day we are going to be there. So what Paul has been teaching us in this passage, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 5, and we haven't, this paragraph goes on through to verse 10. But what Paul has been teaching in this passage is the very purpose of God. It was God's purpose to put us in a temporary tent, a skenos, a tent that decays and degenerates and falls apart. It is God's purpose to allow suffering in our life on earth in order to demonstrate the all-sufficiency of His grace and His power. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 9. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10. It was God's purpose to give every church-age believer the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit so that we could live the unique spiritual life of the church age. It is God's purpose to transform us into the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18, Romans 12:1 and 2. And God's purpose is carried out and accomplished through the doctrine of sanctification. Sanctification has three phases. Phase one, sanctification, occurs at salvation. Positional sanctification, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit baptizes us into union with Christ, current positional truth. Phase two, sanctification, experiential sanctification. God the Holy Spirit indwells every church-age believer to provide a base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit so that we can live the unique spiritual life of the church age, advance to maturity, and have virtue, love brought to completion in our hearts. And phase three, sanctification, ultimate sanctification, God the Holy Spirit is the down payment, the guarantee that we will have a resurrection body just like the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will live with Him forever in heaven. This process of sanctification of the church age believer will culminate in possessing a resurrection body and perfect Christ-likeness. The guarantee of that consummation is God the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of God the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of the completion of God's gracious gift of eternal salvation. Now that brought us to verse 6, and we just barely got started in verse 6. The King James starts out, "Therefore we are always confident." This is the post-positive conjunction un, plus the present active participle of the verb thareo, plus the adverb pantote. The post-positive conjunction un is an inferential conjunction. It draws a conclusion based on the absolute truth of the Scriptures presented, specifically our passage, 2 Corinthians 5:1 through 5. The inferential use of un should be translated, "therefore." And then we have the verb thareo, and we just barely got started on this verb thareo last time. Looks like this in the Greek, T-H-A-R-R-E-long-O, thareo. Now, thareo is used six times in the New Testament Scriptures. It's used five times by the Apostle Paul, and all five times in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6, our passage. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 2. The only other usage was by the author of Hebrews in Hebrews 13, verse 6. So we noted, or we started to note, this verb, thareo. We noted, one, thareo means to be confident, to be courageous, to be bold, to be confident in God, confident in the Word of God, and therefore courageous to your circumstances in your life, whatever you're facing. Two, it means total assurance in your thinking, as a result of knowing the Word of God, as a result of having a maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart. Now, if you don't have it, if you don't have the Word of God, and you're not even interested in it, then I guarantee you, you will not be confident. You will have no confidence in God, no confidence in the Word of God, and you will have no courage when it comes to your circumstances in your life. Thareo means to be confident, to be courageous, to be bold. It means total assurance in your thinking as a result of knowing the Word of God. Consistently and faithfully, you assembled to worship the King. Now, most of you, you come. Why do you come to Upland Bible Church? I mean, you could stay home. A lot of people do stay home. You could stay home. Why do you come? You come to worship the King. You come to worship the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. You come just the way the Magi, they traveled hundreds and hundreds of miles to worship the King, a baby in a manger. And they came bringing gifts. And we have had, in many moons that I have been here, wonderful, wonderful believers that came here consistently and faithfully. Why? Because they wanted to worship the King. They wanted to worship the King and the mind, the thinking of the King, the Word of God. They wanted to know it and learn it, believe it. And they brought gifts. Gifts of positive volition, gifts of humility, respect for the authority of the King, Jesus Christ. Respect for the authority of the thinking of the King, Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Respect for the authority of the servant of the King, the pastor of the local church. So it means total assurance in your thinking as a result of knowing Bible doctrine, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. And third, as a result of growing up spiritually in the grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you have an unshakable confidence. An unshakable confidence in God. An unshakable confidence in the Word of God. That brings us to point four. You don't have point four. Point four, Gary?
Yes, sir.
Oh, all right, okay. Point four, confidence is the result of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. It's the result of growing up and advancing to spiritual maturity. You see, we all start out as a spiritual baby. And we go from being a spiritual baby to spiritual adolescence and eventually to a teleos believer, a spiritually mature believer. Confidence is the result of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advancing to spiritual maturity. Five, confidence is the result of having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. When you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you have personal love for God the Father. Deuteronomy 6 verse 4. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you have maximum confidence in Him. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Deuteronomy 6, 4. You have impersonal love for all mankind. 1 John 4, 20 and 21. John 15, 12 and 17. And you have occupation with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has made Himself at home. The King has made Himself at home in your heart. And when the King makes Himself at home in your heart, well, you share the happiness of God. And you have absolute confidence in Jesus Christ and the mind of Christ, the Word of God. So confidence is the result of having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Six, the spiritually mature believer has maximum confidence in God and in the Word of God. The spiritually mature believer has maximum confidence in God and in the Word of God. 7. With maximum confidence, you rely completely on the grace and power of God. Not yourself, not your own abilities or talents, not your own human IQ. With maximum confidence, you rely completely on the grace and the power of God. The verb thareo is modified by an adverb. The adverb is pantote. P-A-N-T-O-T-E. Pantote. And pantote means always. So this says we always have confidence. Who's we? There aren't very many we's among believers today. These are the believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. These are the believers that have advanced to spiritual maturity. These are the believers that have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. And for those believers, and I mean that those are very sad to say, very few believers today. And that's why this nation is living on the edge of the volcano. We are currently the client nation to God today. We may not be tomorrow. We're on the verge of the fifth cycle of national discipline in Client Nation USA. So this says, therefore we always have confidence. Spiritually mature believers always have confidence. Winner believers always have confidence in God, always have confidence in the Word of God, always have courage toward whatever circumstances they're facing in their life. So pantote means always or at all times. Regardless of your situations, regardless of your circumstances, you have maximum confidence in God and in His Word as a result of maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. In times of adversity, suffering, trials, testing, you have confidence in God and confidence in the Word of God. In times of prosperity, you have great confidence in God. In times of sickness, you have great confidence in God. Or health, it makes no difference. Whether it's sickness or health, you have great confidence in God. The present tense is linear action start. The spiritually mature believer keeps on having confidence in God and His Word always. Keeps on having courage toward his situation and circumstances always. The active voice, the spiritually mature believer performs the action of having this confidence and courage. The participle is the independent or absolute participle. The independent participle stands alone as the only verb in a clause, and it must be translated as though it were an indicative. So we will. Corrected translation. Therefore, we always have confidence. And then we always have confidence what? Knowing
that.
This is the perfect active participle of oida plus the conjunction hati. Now, In many congregations, they haven't got a clue. If I say, oh, it doesn't mean a damn thing to them. Of course, some people in here, it doesn't mean a damn thing either. But anyway, you know what? That looks pretty good. In Greek looks pretty good. Almost the same as English. Oida looks like that. But we've had this again and again and again. Oh, no, not again. Yes, again. So one, oida is translated to know. But oida is the frozen form, and you have heard that many times. It's a perfect used as a present. Oida means you have learned Bible doctrine in the past. Some in this church have, some have not. It means you have learned Bible doctrine in the past with the result that you know Bible doctrine now in the present. Point two. You know that you are living in a very temporary human body, a tent, while you are here on planet Earth. You know that you are living in a very temporary human body, a tent, a skenos, while you are here on planet Earth. Three, however, you also know that you have an eternal resurrection body that you will live in for all eternity in heaven. You also know that you have an eternal resurrection body that you will live in for all eternity in heaven. Wahoo. Four. You know that while you are living in your tent, your human body on earth, you are absent from the Lord. You are absent from your real home in heaven, your resurrection body. You know that while you are living in your tent, your human body on earth, you are absent from the Lord, and you are absent from your real home in heaven, your resurrection body. Oida is a verb of dicendi, verbs of knowing, and of course, what did I say it means to know. So oida is a verb of dicendi, and after verbs of dicendi, hati is correctly translated that. You see, many times it's causal, translated because, but not after verbs of dicendi. It's translated that and introduces an object clause. The perfect tense is the perfect used as the present. The active voice, the church-age believer who has grown up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, performs the action of the verb. And the participle, the circumstantial, attendant circumstance, having the same force as the main verb, thareo. So the corrected translation then, therefore, we being spiritually mature believers, we always have confidence and know that while we are at home in the body, this is the present active participle of endemao, plus the prepositional phrase, and plus the dative singular of soma with a definite article. Now, this is really a fun. I had so much fun exegeting this, and I did it about 8 months ago. But anyway, very fun, because we have endemao and ekdemao. And endemao depends on what prepositional phrase follows it. One prepositional phrase that follows it means ende meo, means you're in your house one, your tent here on earth. Another prepositional phrase that follows it means you're in house two, your resurrection body in heaven. Isn't that? Okay, I know. Yeah. Very exciting for a pastor that studies from the original anyway. So we have here The present active participle of endemeo plus the prepositional phrase en plus the dative singular of soma with the definite article. Endemeo. E-N-D, long E-M-E, long O. Endemeo. All right, a couple of things on endemeo. One, it's a compound verb made up of the preposition en, which is in, and this comes from this we get the noun domos, which means house. So it's a compound verb made up of en, in, and domos, house. Two, therefore, it literally means to be in the house. To be at home. To be in the house, to be at home. And this verb is only used, that's the literal translation, in the house, to be at home. But it's only used figuratively in the Word of God. Point three. Now we have already learned from 2 Corinthians 5:1 that the believer in Jesus Christ has two houses. We have two houses. First of all, the human body that he lives in during phase two, our life and time, which is a temporary house. It's a tent. It's a skenos. So that's house number one. And then there's a second house, house number two, the resurrection body that he lives in during phase three, an eternal house, a building. It's not a skenos. It's an oikodome. Oikodome is a building. So we have two houses. One is the tent and the other one is the building. So now we've already learned this from 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1 that the believer in Jesus Christ has two houses. One, the human body that he lives in during phase two in time, the temporary house of a tent, the skenos, and secondly, house number two, the resurrection body that he lives in phase three in eternity, an eternal house, an oikodome, a building, his resurrection body. Four, the verb endemeo, to be in the house, is used figuratively for both houses. The verb endemeo, to be in the house, is used figuratively for both houses. First of all, it is used for being in the house of the human body, phase two, and it's used for being in the house of the resurrection body, phase three. So the verb endemeo, to be in the house, is used figuratively for both houses. And the way you know which house is being referred to is to look at the prepositional phrase that follows the verb endemeo, which is what we're going to do. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6, our verse, endemeo, is followed by the prepositional phrase and plus the dative of soma. So in our verse, we have en plus the dative of soma. N-E-N plus the dative soma, S long O-M-A. N plus the dative of soma. So in our verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6, endemeo is followed by the prepositional phrase N plus the dative of soma, in the human body. So 5, to be in the house, in the body, is the biblical definition of the believer in phase two, in the human body. To be in the house, in the body, N plus the dative of soma, is the biblical definition of the believer in phase two in the human body. Point six. Now, look ahead. Look ahead. It's all right. You won't get shot or anything. Look ahead at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. We have endemeo, the same verb, But this time it's followed by a totally different prepositional phrase, pros plus the accusative of kurios. So, pros, P-R-O-S, plus the accusative kurios, K-U-R-I-O-S. Pros plus the accusative means face to face with kurios, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have the verb endemao. It's used for house one and house two. And when it's house one, endemao is followed by N plus the dative of soma in the human body. When it's talking about house two, it's endemao followed by pros plus the accusative of kurios, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. So point six, now look at 2 Corinthians 5:8. We have endemao followed by the prepositional phrase pros plus the accusative of kurios, which means face to face with the Lord. Seven, to be in the house face to face with the Lord is describing the believer in phase three, in eternity. In an interim body or a resurrection body, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. So to be in the house, endemeo, face to face with the Lord, is describing the believer in phase three, in an interim body or resurrection body, face to face with the Lord. So 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6, endemeo is used figuratively for the believer in the house of his human body. And in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, endemeo is used figuratively for the believer in the house of his interim body and eventually his resurrection body. The present tense is a progressive present. It is actually being in progress in present time. The active voice, the believer in Jesus Christ who is physically alive, in phase two, performs the action of the verb. The participle is circumstantial, temporal. Circumstantial, temporal participle, and you translate it while. While we are in the house of the human body. While we are at home in the human body. So the corrected translation. Therefore, we, spiritually mature believers, therefore we always have confidence and know that while we are at home in the house of the human body, we are absent from the Lord. Now we go from endemeo to ekdemeo. Wahoo! This is great stuff. The present active indicative of ekdemeo plus the prepositional phrase apa plus the genitive singular of kurios with a definite article. This time we go from endemeo to another preposition, ekdemeo. E-K-D long E-M-E long O. Ekdemeo. Ekdemeo is only found three times in the New Testament scriptures, and all three times it's used by the Apostle Paul in our passage, in our verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, and in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9. It's not found in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. This is very likely a word that the Apostle Paul and his genius under the leading of God the Holy Spirit, he coined this word, ekdemeo. So one, ekdemeo is a compound verb made up of the preposition ek, which means out from, and demeo from domos, the house. So ekdemeo is a compound verb made up of the preposition ek, which means out from, plus domos, house. So two, therefore ekdemeo literally means to be out from the house or to be away from the house. To be out from the house, to be away from the house. Three, that is, while we are in phase two, in time, we are out of the house of the resurrection body and away from, separated from the Lord. While we are in phase two, in time, we are out of the house of the resurrection body and we are away from, separated from the Lord. Where do we get away from, separated from? The preposition apa. APO, apa is the preposition of separation. It means away from, and what are we away from? Away from kurios, the Lord, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, remember I said that phrase, we are absent from the Lord, that's a present active indicative of ekdemeo plus the prepositional phrase apa plus the genitive singular of kurios with the definite article. So point four. One thing we know about heaven is that when we are in heaven, we will be with the Lord. One thing we know about heaven is that when we are in heaven, we will be with the Lord. We will be with the King. And by the way, He's the groom, we are His bride. We are His bride forever and ever and ever and ever. Totally unique, the relationship between the King and the royal family of God, church age. We are His bride. Turn over to John 14. John 14. The Lord Jesus Christ is giving a Bible class here. And He says in John 14, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with Me, to be with the King, to be with Me, Jesus Christ, that you also may be where I am. So one thing we know about heaven is that when we are in heaven, we will be with the Lord. John 14, verses 1 through 3. 5. While you are physically alive and in the house of your human body, you are out of the house of your resurrection body, being away from the Lord. Apa plus the genitive of kurios. So while you are physically alive and in the house of your human body, you are out of the house of your resurrection body, being away from the Lord. Corrected translation, therefore, we always have confidence and know that while we are at home in the house of the human body, we are out of the house of the resurrection body, away from the Lord. You get that? Therefore, we always have confidence to know that while we are at home in the house of the human body, we are out of the house, ekdemao, of the resurrection body, away from the Lord. So point one, this is the principle of the two houses. The principle of the two houses. And what's the principle of the two houses? Point two. This is a very deep point. Make sure you get this. You cannot be inside of two houses at the same time. You can't be inside of two houses at the same time. If you're in the first house, then you're out of the second house. Three, if you are in the first house of the human body, then you're out of the second house, the resurrection body. And therefore, you are away from, separated from the Lord. If you're in the house, the first house of the human body, then you are out of the second house, the resurrection body. And therefore, you are away from, separated from the Lord. And this is what 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6 is teaching. Now, the other half of this principle is given in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. Point 4. The spiritually mature believer has this mental attitude. The winner believer has this mental attitude. He would much rather be out of the first house, out of the human body, and in the second house, his resurrection body. The spiritually mature believer has this mental attitude. He would much rather be out of the first house, out of the human body, and in the second house, his resurrection body. Five, this is the mental attitude of the winner believer. The winner believer who fulfills our next verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. He is walking by faith and not by sight. This is the mental attitude of the winner believer who fulfills our next verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. He's walking by faith and not by sight. So again, we have, therefore, we always have confidence and know that while we are at home in the house of the human body, we are out of the house, ekdemao, the resurrection body, away from the Lord. Now verse 7. For we walk by faith. We, again, refers to winner believers. And I wish that was most believers in the United States of America, but it's so few. It's so few. Oh, there's a lot of Christians in America. There are almost no spiritually mature believers. There are almost no winner believers. God isn't important to them. The Word of God isn't important to them. Their eyes are on the things they can see. Their eyes are on the visible. Their eyes are on the material. And they are not walking by faith in God and the Word of God. They're walking by the visible, what they see with their physical eyes. But the winner believer, we walk by faith, not by sight. This is the post-positive conjunction gar plus the present active indicative of peripateo plus the prepositional phrase dia plus the genitive singular of pistis plus the objective negative u with the preposition dia a second time, but it's u plus dia plus the genitive of eidos. All right, the post-positive conjunction gar. G-A-R, gar. This is an illative gar, and the illative gar introduces a reason. One, the reason why the spiritually mature believer would rather be in house two, his resurrection body, and out of house one, his human body, is because he is walking by faith and not by sight. The reason why the spiritually mature believer would rather be in house two, his resurrection body, and out of house one, his human body, is because he's walking by faith and not by sight. He knows God. He loves God. He is occupied with Jesus Christ. He loves God the Father with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He has Jesus Christ at home in his heart. He has absolute confidence in God and in the Word of God. He knows it. He believes it. It's absolute truth in his thinking. So the reason why the spiritually mature believer would rather be in house two, his resurrection body, and out of house one, his human body, is because he is walking by faith and not by sight. Two, this is the mental attitude of the believer who is living the spiritual life and has maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. This is the mental attitude. This is the thinking of the believer who is living the spiritual life and has maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. Three, this is the believer who has fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. He has virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. He loves the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He has impersonal love for all. He has occupation with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has made himself at home in his heart, and he shares the happiness of God. This is the believer who has fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life and has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Four, this is the mental attitude. This is the thinking of the believer who has a personal sense of destiny. He has a personal sense of destiny. Five, this is the thinking of the believer who maintains the eternal perspective. This is the thinking of the believer who maintains the eternal perspective. That is, point six, he is living his life in the light of eternity. He's living his life on this earth in the light of eternity. You see, we're all going to stand before Jesus Christ, every believer, the winners and the losers, everyone going to stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. And the loser believers will be there, and they will have shame. It won't be forever. It's just temporary at the judgment seat of Christ, but they'll stand before Jesus Christ and they will have shame, be ashamed, because they didn't grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. They didn't assemble in a sound Bible teaching church to worship the King. That wasn't important. They did not grow up. They did not reach spiritual maturity. They had no virtue love brought to completion in their heart. They lived their life in sin, human good, and evil. A lot of human good. And human good parlayed into evil. Living by their sin nature. Living in Satan's cosmic system. Oh, they didn't lose their salvation. They'll be in heaven. But they lose out on all greater grace, blessings for eternity. But we're all going to be evaluated, every one of us. And the winner believer is looking forward to it. Looking forward to standing before Jesus Christ. Looking forward to being evaluated. And the Lord Jesus Christ will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You see, we're all in full-time Christian service, not just me. You are all in full-time Christian service. You all have a ministry. By the way, we're going to see that when we get on down the road. I'm in some really exciting stuff in the next few chapters. And this is true in every class I'm in. I mean, I can't wait to get to Romans. We're in 6. I can't wait to get to 8. We still have to go through 7. And I know Cliff will ask, "When are you going to finish Romans?" "After the rapture." Well, there you go. And the rapture will probably be tomorrow, so... So this is the thinking of the believer who maintains the eternal perspective. 6, he's living his life in the light of eternity. 7, as he lives the spiritual life and grows up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ makes himself at home in his heart. While he is in house 1, his human body, phase 2. As he lives a spiritual life and grows up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ makes himself at home in his heart. The greatest friend, the most important love in your life is the Lord Jesus Christ in the winner believer. So as he lives the spiritual life and grows up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ makes himself at home in his heart while he is in house 1, the human body. 8, but he is looking forward to being face to face with the Lord in house 2, his resurrection body in heaven. But he is looking forward to being face to face with the Lord in house 2, his resurrection body in heaven. For we walk by faith, we, winner believers, we walk by faith and absolutely not by sight. We haven't quite exegeted all this. We still got walking, peripateo, and absolutely not by sight. We'll pick that up next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.